Good to be back here once again. It seems that I just left and I'm back again. I didn't go home. I spent some time at my parents' house, and my parents' house, they're elderly now, and when I go in the house and they're arguing, everything is fine. There's nothing wrong. When things are quiet, then there's something wrong. But I phoned my wife also this afternoon, and she goes, "Oh, I saw you on sermon audio." I said, "Well, why would you want to turn sermon audio on? You listen to me every week, and now you want to listen to me again." But anyhow, a good thing, and my wife and I have fond memories of this church. This is my first church. I was converted at the age of 22, and I always tell my congregation, if I knew I would be a public speaker, I would have spent a little bit more time in school, a little bit more time paying attention to academics. But the Lord, of course, we can't foresee these things, but the Lord, He knows best. And glad to be here once again. We're going to turn to Philemon this evening, to the book of the epistle of Paul to Philemon. And it is a book tucked in there. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, it's just before the book of Hebrews. It's just a half a page, and it is inspired, and it is also different than the other epistles. The epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner, verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia, and Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, for yet, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We'll end our reading there, trusting the Lord will add his blessing to his own infallible and errant and inspired word. Let us just bow for a moment's word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, that the gospel was preached to Adam, the gospel was preached to Abraham, and the gospel is being preached in our day. And our Father, we thank thee, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And our Father, we pray for the ministry this evening of the Holy Ghost. And we ask of thee, our Father, that thou would truly work and do that work which we cannot do. And our Father, we pray that thou would even raise the dead spiritually this evening, that there would be those that would respond even to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The epistle of Philemon differs very much from the other epistles in many respects. When we read this short epistle, well, we would expect some particular doctrine to stand out, or like other epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. All we have here is a letter. It's a personal letter written to a single individual upon a subject, really, that may occur at any time or place. It's private and it's personal in character. In this letter, basically, Paul is simply requesting Philemon to receive with kindness a repentant brother, or in this case, a runaway slave. A runaway slave who got converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. The slave belonged to Philemon, and Paul simply desired to restore this runaway slave back to his master, Philemon. When we consider the context of this epistle, we will discover once again the spirit of the Gospels. It will convince us not only that Paul is the writer of this epistle, but we will also be convinced that it is divinely inspired. This personal letter here differs much from the other epistles, and yet it is in God's word, and it is inspired. The story of a runaway slave also contains the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though the particular doctrine here of the gospel are not stated. There is repentance here. Onesimus, the runaway slave, he repents, and there's also forgiveness here on the part of Philemon. There's also examples of Christian love. There's intercession on the part of the Apostle Paul. He says, "I will repay." That, of course, gives us a picture here of of Christ's intercession, even for his people. And this and much more is the spirit that's contained here in this epistle, this Christian spirit. The story is about a slave called Onesimus, and he ran away from his master Philemon. Philemon was a person of eminence, as we understand, perhaps even a minister, because it does tell us there, it hints to us in verse number 1, that he was a fellow laborer, dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And also in verse number 2, it talks about the church in thy house. So a fellow laborer would give us the idea that perhaps he was one of Paul's own converts. Paul loved him, addressed him as a fellow laborer. And then it talks about the church in his house. Well, it gives us the idea that he had a house large enough to accommodate a church, a person perhaps of considerable wealth. He was most likely a minister, as the commentators tell us, a minister of Colossae, in possession of many slaves. And that was the way it was in those days. Even the believers had slaves in their home, because slaves in those days, they were bought and sold at that time. However, Onesimus, a slave of Philemon's, he escaped. He ran away, and before he escaped, he seems to have robbed his master. And he traveled many hundreds of miles, and he traveled to Rome. Rome at that time was a very sinful city, and he probably thought that he would be far away enough for his master not to inquire of him. In those days, the slaves were looked upon by the pagan Romans as dogs, many of them were even flogged to death, fed to the fish in the ponds. And slaves in those days were ignorant, they were untaught, they were barbaric in nature, degraded. It was not a good thing to be a slave in those days, and especially a runaway slave such as Onesimus. He escaped to Rome, And it happened that at that time Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Paul was not able to go out and in, but many were permitted to come in to see the Apostle Paul. And I'm sure he had many visitors, visitors that would come in to see Paul here. And Paul would instruct them as they came to see him. He would instruct them, all who came to him, all who visited him. Now, the reason why Onesimus, the slave, went to see Paul, well, we're not too sure. One thing we know for sure is that he heard the gospel before. He heard the gospel in Philemon's house. Perhaps he may have heard of him, the Apostle Paul, or even from curiosity's sake. Anyhow, he went to see and he went to hear the great servant of God. And Paul, as it is, he preached the gospel to him. And Paul, as he preached the gospel to him, well, Onesimus, the runaway slave, became a Christian. At other time, the Apostle Paul, he preached to Agrippa, and Agrippa said, "Almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But now, Onesimus heard the same gospels, but Onesimus, you see, he became a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the divine grace of God, Onesimus was converted through the very preaching of the Apostle Paul. He soon made himself known to Paul, spoke with Paul, and Paul watched him. And within a very short time, perhaps a few days, Paul began to admire the character of this young man, especially as Onesimus began to serve the Apostle Paul. They became close, and Onesimus told his name. He told him his name, he told him how has he escaped, and he told him his master's name. Master's name was Philemon. He then proved himself to be a true convert of Jesus Christ. And Paul also calls him a spiritual son. Because in verse number 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." He was now, in the spiritual sense, his son, converted through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul had begotten him in his bonds, as he says, and in fact, Onesimus even became helpful to the great Apostle Paul. He became useful, profitable. Paul desired to have him as an associate, but Paul knew who Onesimus was. And Paul knew that he belonged to Onesimus, his master, and he knew who Philemon was, and Paul sent for him. And Onesimus had to get things right with his earthly master. And so Paul endeavored to restore him to the favor of his master Philemon. And for that end, he wrote this short epistle to Philemon. And he sent it by the hands of Onesimus himself. Paul could have kept him. Paul could have used Onesimus in Rome, but felt it necessary that Onesimus get things right with his master for the honor of the gospel. Our text this evening is found in verse number 10 and verse number 11. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." First thing I want to note is Onesimus' former state. Verse number 11, it tells us who he was, the first part of verse 11, "which in time past was to thee unprofitable." Now, who was this man? Well, he was a slave. He was probably most likely from Colossae, and he was a heathen with a very bad past, a very bad past. Uneducated, dishonored, a dishonorable man because he robbed his earthly good master to whom he belonged to. And the reason why I say good master here is because Philemon, well, he was a Christian, you see. He was a Christian minister, and Philemon treated him well. He treated him well, and I'm sure that there was much prayer offered up for Onesimus. Remember, he lived in a Christian home. He served in a Christian home. And he heard the prayers in that Christian home, and he heard the scriptures in that Christian home. But he still injured his master. He still injured his master. He was one of those hopeless cases. Those hopeless cases that perhaps sometimes we conclude that grace has just passed them by. There's no hope. There's no hope for Onesimus. Perhaps even Philemon concluded that there was no hope for him. Besides, he maybe didn't want him back anymore. Didn't want him back anymore. I found him very hurtful. He's useless. He's unprofitable in all things. He's a great sinner. Worst of them all, he's a thief. Well, good for nothing. And I'm sure we've all heard those statements before. He ran away. You see, every sinner is unprofitable. You cannot be profitable before God unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as a sinner remains in his natural state, he will always be unfaithful to his heavenly Father. He'll always be unfaithful to God, to his fellow man. He's dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sin. And he walks according to the course of this world. And it does tell us there in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." It reads, children of disobedience. Some of us may know what disobedient children are capable of doing. Children of wrath. That is, children doomed to wrath. That is the state of men, you see. That is the state of all men by nature. They cannot be profitable. They are all of that fallen race, corrupt in their being. And even David, way back in his day, he came to the same conclusion. And David, he stated in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We all are partakers of Adam's fallen race, because Adam begat children in his own fallen likeness. And being corrupt himself, he could transmit nothing but corruption to his descendants. And the truth, the solemn truth is that all that are in Adam are actually under this sentence of wrath and actually doomed to it. This was the case, you see, of Onesimus. This is where Onesimus, the slave, found himself in. He was a sinner before the eyes of God by nature and practice, and worse of them all because of who he was. And he was a thief, capable of doing no good. A slave to the devil, a slave to sin, a slave to the world. No one could have helped him. Not even that Christian environment could help him. Living in that Christian environment should have helped him, should have known much about the Lord, living in Philemon's home. But it could be perhaps for that very reason that Philemon ran away. He hated that home. Well, if he liked that home, he would have stayed in that home. But he must have hated that home, and he hated that environment. He most likely hated the truth, and he hated the warnings that he heard. He hated those prayers that he heard. He hated those rules, the opportunities to get right with God. He hated all those things. Those things didn't affect him whatsoever. He hated the entire environment. He could not perceive what was good for him. He couldn't even see that. He would rather run away and hide in the streets of Rome, in the slums, the streets of Rome, and mingle with these other thieves, those other sinners. He was very unprofitable, was he? Very unprofitable. Could not be trusted. Couldn't be trusted. He was the worst of the worst. Paul says, Onesimus was in time past unprofitable. And yes, my friend, we too that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we too at one time were unprofitable. Couldn't do anything for the Lord. That is the state of every man previous to his conversion. He does not glorify God, nor does he do anything for his own soul. That was Onesimus' state before his conversion. Grace was needed, of course, and grace had to reach him. Notice secondly here, Onesimus' conversion. It does tell us here how that he was, it became profitable, because in verse number 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. This is what the grace of God is all about, you see. The grace of God had mercy upon him. It had to be of grace because they were much better people in those days than Onesimus. They were much better moral people than Onesimus and more faithful servants than Onesimus. There would be those that would do their job faithfully, but they were much more better polite people than Onesimus. They were better trustworthy people, better helpful people than him. There was more upright and religious people than him in those days. Had to be grace. The grace of God, mercy and sovereign grace, looked down from heaven, set his eyes upon him, and God simply loved him. This runaway slave, this man that had robbed his master. The Lord, of course, knew the end from the beginning. The Lord knew exactly who he was. And how else can we credit his conversion except God loving Onesimus, the runaway slave? We certainly can't credit it to him or to his doings because they were evil continually. The Lord made the difference in his life, and we could look to the Lord this evening and say, the Lord made the difference in our lives. And that's something that we should all be thankful for, that we have a salvation that is of God. This is not a salvation made up of any man-made scheme of any kind. This is the salvation of God. He was the most unlikely person to become a convert. The most unlikely person to come into to walk into a church service, as he came to visit the Apostle Paul, the most unlikely person to visit the Apostle Paul. He heard the gospel before. Now he's visiting the Apostle Paul. And now he heard the same gospel. He heard about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Paul at this time was chained. His hands were chained to another soldier in a prison house. Well, he would preach to all that would come to him, including Onesimus. God led him there. God once again gave him that opportunity to take heed to those very words of the gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel, and though the preaching, as he heard of Christ as the only Savior, God moved upon his heart. We read of that in Scripture, also in the case of Lydia in the book of Acts, where it does talk about the Lord opening up the heart. Isn't that what's needed today to have a true Christian conversion? Isn't that what's needed today? The question you may be asking is, why him? Well, we always ask that question. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, why me? Why me? Well, all we can say is God loved us. And my friend, when you contemplate the love of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us and what God's love towards us in giving us his son, well, you have to admire the Lord in what he did. And we certainly know from Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9 in verse number 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God had mercy upon Onesimus. He had Onesimus, led Onesimus, and the Lord in his sovereignty does what he pleases. Even a runaway slave, the most unlikely person. Onesimus was a very wild man. Onesimus was a reprobate, depraved in nature. Yet we have another account here of the mercy of God upon a sinner. The Holy Ghost led him to see his rebellion, his sin. He then repents of his sin, and we credit it all to the Lord. And those of us who are saved, we can say the same, because the Lord hath done it, and from start to finish, salvation is of the Lord, and to Him be the glory. Myself included, I know we've been singing some of these hymns this evening, and some of the hymns talk about how rebels we were, and how that the Lord, in His mercy, reached down in loving kindness and tender mercies to bring us to Himself. Rebels against God, enemies of God, and yet God had mercy upon him. And that's what the Scriptures teach, you see, because in Ephesians, once again, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, according to had He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. What more can we ask? Troubles all around us, sicknesses all around us. What more can we ask? That the Lord has, what has the Lord not had done for us? Giving us His Son. The grace of God not only saved Onesimus, but changed his very character. He was no longer unprofitable, but now he was profitable. In other words, God blessed him, and therefore he's going to be blessed. Just as Abraham, as the Lord said that he would bless him. Well, Abraham was blessed. All knew about it. Onesimus is going to be profitable to Philemon, to Paul. Paul says, profitable to thee and to me. He's no longer untrustworthy. He's no longer a thief. No longer an unbeliever. No longer was he hard and rough. No longer ignorant of the Creator and the mercy of God. He was no longer ignorant of those things. He knew now the Lord. He knew the Lord. He became a new creature, a new servant, a new man in Christ Jesus, completely altered by conversion. And that's why we have to check ourselves, you see. Is this our experience? He's now profitable. He wants to help Paul. What can I do to help the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can I do to do that? Helpful to the Apostle Paul. And that is what conversion does to us, you see. It makes us one who is unfit. It makes us profitable. It makes one fit for good works. It's the greatest change that could ever take place in the heart of a man. Many of God's people were before very unjust. Many of God's people before were injurious and cruel and hurtful. Now they are the opposite. Well, again, we attribute it to the Lord, because regenerating grace can produce such an effect. Paul was even willing to have Onesimus as an associate. Well, he was profitable, and so it is with every true Christian. In the case with every child of God, that after conversion we endeavor to abstain from hurting others, we abstain from wronging others, from injuring others. Why? Because conversion works in us the very love of God, and it makes us fruitful. Fruitful to good works. There is a new nature in us. And once we are truly converted, we have gotten Christ. He's become ours. We have Him dwelling in us. And to know Him is to know everlasting life. Divine grace never leaves us as it finds us. And I know what it's like. Because I myself at one time didn't care anything about the gospel, nothing about the Lord, and nothing about religion. I would never enter into the church doors. I was brought up in a religion of works, a religion that taught falsehood. And yet, you see, when the Lord comes and the Lord teaches us through His Spirit, then, you see, we become profitable indeed. And Onesimus here had been worse than unprofitable, but divine grace made him very profitable indeed. As he went back to his master Philemon with this letter of apology, he went back with a very humble spirit. A very humble spirit, a gentle spirit, upright and honest. At one time he robbed his master. Now he comes back profitable to his master, never to rob him again. Well, it's a different spirit altogether, isn't it? He was washed in the Savior's blood, and he was fit for his heavenly master's use. And I'm sure that Philemon received him instantly, and I'm sure most likely that he gave him his liberty. I'm also sure that he helped out, assisted in this church at Colossae, because in Colossians chapter 4, it mentions his name, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 9. It says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you? They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And so here you have this man, he's working in the church. This runaway slave, this man that was very unprofitable, now he's working in the church. In fact, he had authority in the church. Paul refers to him as faithful. And he was Paul's trusted representative. His whole being was changed. As we close this evening, the story truly illustrates the power of the gospel, doesn't it? In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul saw it himself, what the gospel was capable of doing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel does transform life. Sometimes we listen to it over and over again, but it may be that 50th time that you hear the gospel, and then it happens. God has ordained the preaching of it to save the lost. Millions have been saved through its preaching. And the gospel, as we looked at this morning, it saved Abraham, saved the prophets, it saved Paul, Onesimus. Never did it fail. It saves Jews, Gentiles, the vilest of mankind. It leaves no longer in their guilt and power. Our job, as I mentioned this morning, is to believe the gospel. If you have heard it, well, then it's your responsibility, you see, to receive it. Don't halt between two opinions. Believe the gospel as it states here in the scriptures. Trust in the Christ of the gospel, and you too will be profitable. You will be profitable to your heavenly master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I close with the words of Romans 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And as I mentioned this morning, God is serious about the gospel, so serious that it cost him his only begotten Son. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice once again for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, our Father, that is old, but yet is ever new. And our Father, we thank thee that thou hast given us the gospel in thy word. And our Father, we do thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel. And we do rejoice that by believing the gospel, we will be profitable indeed. Fit for heaven itself. And we do rejoice, our Father, that thou art able, through thy grace and mercy, to save even unto the uttermost. Dismiss us now in thy blessing, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.